Jesus has overcome. Mercy triumphed when the third day dawned, and darkness was denied when the storm was gone. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus our God, unstoppable. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus our God, unstoppable.
Hallelujah. Amen. You thankful for the Lord? So give him another hand clap of praise. We thank you, God. We praise you, Lord, for all you're doing in our lives, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I just wanted to say a big welcome to all those who are guests with us this evening, worshiping online. Thank you so much. If this is your first time worshiping with us, you should have received a connection card as you came. If not, right on the kiosk, if you're worshiping online, you can follow that bit.ly link that's up there. Just a few points of information. We want to connect with you. If you're here in person, we do have a small gift to show our appreciation for joining us in worship. Amen. Amen. With that, we have a special video, Move the Mission video this evening.
And they're saying, God, where you send me, I'll go. They're saying, God, what you tell me to say, I'll say it. They're saying, God, if you can use anything.
Was at youth convention when I made his mission mine. I felt a burden and could feel the call. I could see the impact, and I knew that there was a great need. Thank you. mission to seek and to save those that are lost. I knew that if the mission was going to be moved, I needed to do it.
Madison Solberg, and I'm here today to talk to you guys about Move the Mission, or also formerly known as Sheaves for Christ. What is the purpose of Move the Mission? Move the Mission is a fundraising ministry of the Youth Ministries UPCI. Since its inception in 1953, over $158 million has been raised to fund missions and ministries around the world. What are some of the ministries that MTM goes for? MTM helps Lighthouse Ranch for Boys raise money so that troubled youth can grow up in a Christian environment and learn about Jesus. MTM helps the missionaries who are in another country and need financial support to get a car, build a church, or even have a place to stay for the night. MTM funds the amazing UPCI orphanage known as Tupelo Children's Mansion. It gives children who have no home a place to call home. MTM is really all around us every day. When I was in South Carolina, I got the honor and privilege to become a real McCoy. For those of you who do not know what a real McCoy is, it is basically if you raise $1,000 going towards Move the Mission, and actually many people sitting in this room today helped me out reach that goal. The Home Missions Church I attended for the past 3 years while I was in South Carolina was greatly affected also by Move the Mission. We would receive funds to help with church projects and outreach ministries. The final offering to give to MTM is due August 28th, so I encourage you to give, even if it's only $5, because $5 here and $5 there, it all adds up. And together, we can help support our local and global ministries. Thank you.
Amen. And one of their latest allocation partners, I think it's their newest allocation partner, is New Beginnings. That they would give to New Beginnings, but now they're an official allocation partner that get funds guaranteed every year. And I'm thankful for New Beginnings. It's an adoption agency. Amen. Amen. So thank you for giving to Move the Mission. Amen. Just a few more announcements tonight. First, our giving options. As you well know, there's a you can give here in the church, a plexiglass box out in the vestibule. There is also our website. You can mail it in, give right through the Church Center app, and you do not want to miss giving to the Lord joyously, cheerfully. Amen. 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 How many of you have been blessed because of your faithful giving? Amen. God is so good, such great promises in the Word of God. Amen. And we can move the mission locally as well through our giving, as well as nationally and globally. Just a few announcements. This Friday, August 12th, all church prayer at 7 p.m. We're excited for that. Everyone be here, right here in the main sanctuary. Amen. And then on Sunday, we're having our normal service schedule, 10 a.m., our children's classes, our adult classes. 11 a.m. is our worship service. Vosis and Nidas and AIM will be joining us. And so it'll be a bilingual service, but a regular preaching of the word. However, we're excited to have Brother Galen Thompson ministering in that service. Amen. Amen. He's always ministers in a great way. And then afterwards, after church, our postponed Summer Fun Fest, all the great activities and food and stuff like that outside under the big top tent, inflatables, sand will be all in your kids when you take them home. It's going to be an exciting time. Thank you for a sand pile. I love it. Oh, amen. I think, he had to take, Malachi was bathing, swimming in the sand last year. So all you parents say amen for sand. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Dan. Happy birthday, Dan. Happy birthday, Dan. Amen. It's what you get when you're on the drums and you do that, and it's your birthday. So, amen. Wish him a happy birthday. Anyways, a couple more announcements looking ahead. Our Youth Week is coming up. Young people, this is August 24th. This is a Wednesday, as well as Sunday the 28th. And they've got activities all through the week, starting Wednesday. They're going to be ministering to us Wednesday night. Brother Ryan Dembski, Wisconsin Section 4 Youth Representative, and Rebecca's fiancé will be ministering on Sunday the 28th. Amen. But if you're a young person or know a young person, they're having a prayer meeting, the ice cream social, they're having a big a statewide rally here Friday evening, and then Saturday some sessions as well. So lots going on that week for our youth. Amen. And one clarification for this Sunday, I forgot to mention, casual attire. Once again, you can wear casual attire this Sunday, so be excited for that too. And then moving forward, anybody have a baby lately? All right, well, I know there's one since the last one and one on the way. I don't know if you'll beat the date yet, and another one on the way. Where's Rachel? You're going to miss it. Sorry, Rachel. In Jesus' name, you'll miss it. Amen, because you're due after that. So plan for next March, Rachel. However, if you've recently had a baby or someone is interested, I heard a brother, I think it was Brother Stan Gleason, mentioned and how he used baby dedications to witness to his neighbors. And that's what it all started with. And so, I don't know, some random thought I just had, but if you know somebody and they've never had their baby dedicated, why not invite them and have them dedicate to the Lord? There's a bit.ly link up there. There's a QR code. You can scan them on the flyers on the doors as you go out. But just this is September 11th, a little ways away. But I know family wants to come in and stuff like that. We want to give you a heads up. So with that, why don't you stand with me? Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Anybody got a special need you want to indicate by a lifted hand? Amen. I know lots of needs, a lot of physical needs and situations going on. Let's bind together today and go before the Lord in prayer. We thank you, Jesus, so much for your goodness. We're so grateful for your love, for your everlasting love, Lord, your faithfulness to us, God. Lord Jesus, your goodness, Lord, in our lives, God. I'm thankful, God, Lord Jesus, God, that we can worship you, Lord Jesus, tonight, God. I pray you minister to every need, Lord, in this house. Lord, you saw the lifted hands, Jesus. And God, Lord, we proclaim with our words, Lord, with our voices tonight, Lord, let there be healing, God. Let there be deliverance, God. Let there be a financial need met, Lord God, Lord Jesus. Relationship restored, God. Lord Jesus, a job, Lord God, provided, God. Lord, we, Lord, need your touch, God, in our lives. We're desperate for you, God. We need you, Lord, and we're thankful, God. We're thankful that your love lifts us up, Lord God, every day. It lifts us up, Lord God, as we draw closer to you. You draw close to us, Lord God, and lift us up, Lord Jesus, and hold us, God. We're thankful, God. Let's give him a hand cup of praise as we go into worship tonight.
Thank you. can sing of your love.
Church, such a sweet, sweet presence of the Lord in this place tonight. So great to be in the house of the Lord. You can be seated this evening. So good to see Cecily and her girls back visiting for the month of August. And just continue to pray for them. They're out in Enos, Montana, helping start a church out there. And then also, I just want to say a big thank you to Brother Jerry and Sister Lindsay Simmons and their crew for the birthday surprise on Sunday. Thank you so very much. That was so very, very thoughtful, very generous, and I thank you very much also to all of you that were here and participated. Looking for a good Sunday, an enjoyable Sunday this week with Brother Galen Thompson will be here, and they were here last weekend, and I said, man, we had Steve Rogers speaking. I said, I'd love to have had you speak for us. He said, I don't have to preach every time I come into town, but it's nice to have them when they come into town. It's a treat. And Brother Thompson, he's going to be back in town this next week and next weekend, so I've asked him to speak this coming Sunday, so I'm excited about that. So I just want to start tonight just a short series, and we're going to kind of roll from one into the other, and I guess if I could put a kind of a description on it, it's kind of just talking about more about life and opportunities that God gives to us, presents to us. And so this series, we're going to talk about how do I know that God is opening a door? We've talked about this before. We've made conversations that, well, you know, God's opening a door. God's opening a door. And if God opens a door, that door opens. And what God opens, no man can shut. And what God shuts, no man can open. But how do we know? What is it that God just doesn't, it's not a physical door that we're always looking for. Sometimes it's a door in the spiritual. Maybe it's direction. So if you've ever wondered whether God was opening a door, or perhaps it was just your wild imaginations. Now, I don't know how you are, but I can get pretty imaginative sometimes when it comes to what I feel or think that God can do or God wants to do. Sometimes it's just amazing. I mean, if you probably have imagined yourself, maybe if you're in ministry of some level, that you imagine yourself speaking or teaching to just coliseums full of people. Anybody ever imagine that? Maybe singing. Maybe you've imagined yourself singing in front of thousands of people. Maybe it's Sunday school and you've got a huge Sunday school class, whatever it may be.
So sometimes we wonder if God's opening a door or our wild imaginations, or perhaps even sometimes the enemy is teasing you with a fresh opportunity. And it can be difficult at times to decipher whether your good idea is a God idea, and whether it's a sign from God or it's just something that you desperately want to do for God, but it may not be a God idea. I've spent a lot of time on really good ideas, and it hasn't always been a God idea, because I've come to the conclusion in life, and I've been here long enough to know that there are times when you can get a holy distraction. Anybody ever have a holy distraction? Something, maybe somebody comes up to you at camp or at a service and tells you something, and God spoke to me, or God, this is like, I don't know what this means, but then all of a sudden you're looking for signs. And whatever that statement was can become a holy distraction, perhaps. The opportunity may look good on paper. You may sit down and you may write it all out and say, this is what I want to do. This is my good idea for God. And you write it all out. You plan it all out, and nothing seems to go as planned. Example of this, I know of a pastor that was frustrated with his congregation when it came to outreach. So he decided one day that they were going to go on outreach. So on a specific Sunday, he told everyone to come to church because we're getting on the buses and we're going out into the highways and the byways and we're going to have outreach. Now, that's a good idea. I think outreach is a very, very good idea. I think it's something that we need to think about and be involved in. The only problem was it was January and it was in upstate Wisconsin. So you can have a good idea, but is it really a God idea? Needless to say, it didn't work out how it was planned, and his frustration just grew to another level, because maybe, and I'm not passing judgment, but maybe outreach at 20 below and buses is not the best thing to do in January. I remember here locally a number of years ago, we got a call from a pastor from another church, and he invited us to go. And some of you went. We went on a prayer walk, and it was going to be an evangelistic prayer walk. And I met ahead of time with a number of pastors, and of course they went over everything that they wanted to see accomplished in this prayer walk. And one of the things they talked about was that they thanked Calvary Gospel Church for its resources, because we provided the buses for transportation and the drivers for the buses, and we provided the sound equipment, and we provided everything they needed for the outreach. And then as they began to talk about what they wanted to accomplish, they said, now understand, we all believe differently. So when we pray on the streets, this is how we want to address this. And I guess I just can't pray for someone to accept the Lord as their personal Savior, because it's not scriptural. And I found out that a good idea doesn't always mean it's a God idea. It was a good idea, but it wasn't a God idea. And sometimes it may sound good when you're in the prayer room and you're praying and an idea comes to your mind and you think this is a God thing, I'm praying. But maybe it's simply not meant. Not every idea. Okay, hear me. Not every idea that comes into your mind or into our minds may be for that specific moment in life. Sometimes good ideas that become God ideas take years to develop. So one of the greatest frustrations that one can have in life is wasting years following signs we thought God would be in the midst of, hear me, only to learn our own ambition led us there, not the voice of God. Likewise, there have been times that we have perhaps missed an opportunity, perhaps due to fear or because of personal confusion. Maybe God is trying to move in your life and God has given you a God idea and we are missing it because of personal fear. Or maybe we're just confused and we're not understanding the voice of God. Without a certainty of each day, it's important to have the discernment to know which path to take so we can make the most of our time while we're here on this planet Earth. We recently completed a series on the gifts of the Spirit. I believe that as much as we need to ask God for wisdom, that we need to pray more earnestly for the gift of discernment, especially in the day and the times that we live in. It is very important, church, that we understand what is a God idea and what God is trying to say to us. We simply cannot afford to waste any more time chasing after the wrong dream because our choices, listen, we're all granted the same amount of time every day. Every day, Brother Brunker doesn't get one more minute than Brother Hawk. Brother Hawk doesn't get any more time than Sister Moran. God gives us all 24 hours and 59 minutes and 59 seconds. 23 hours, excuse me. We have 24 hours in a day. That's it. No more, no less. And we can't afford to waste any more time chasing after perhaps a good idea when we should be seeking after a God idea. Our choices will have a direct effect on our lives and the lives, not just of us here, but of those outside of these four walls. Walking through the right doors at the right time is serious business. Timing is so critical, church. And it shouldn't be taken lightly, but rather with prayer and with wisdom. So through all of this, I've learned through life's experiences that there are really a number of different methods and principles. Principle is a word I like to use that reveal God's will for his children. So if you're struggling here tonight, today, and you're trying to figure out how do I know if this is a God opportunity or a good opportunity? How do I know if this is where God wants me to go? How do I know? So one major aspect of discerning an open door is recognizing whether or not. So here's our first point. Whether or not. How do I know that God is opening a door? Is this opportunity backed by the Word of God? Is this opportunity scriptural? Can I find an answer for it in here? This is not just our playbook. This is our boundary book. We're going to do a series coming up on boundaries. I had some of you ask how do you keep your life in check? We're going to talk about boundaries in another month or so. But this is our boundary book. It tells me when I'm in line and when I'm out of line. This book is critical to our walk with God. So how do I know that God is opening a door? Well, is this opportunity backed by Scripture? Quite simply put, listen. God's not going to bless you by giving you an opportunity that contradicts his word. These are basic principles. God is a God of principle. He doesn't change because it's Roy Grant or John Repka. God doesn't care. God said, this is my principle. You follow it and I bless you. Sometimes your blessings come earlier and sometimes later. It's not always instantly. If you pay your tithing, God says, I will bless you. I will honor that. You don't always walk out and somebody give you $1,000. It may happen. It may not happen. But you see how chances are if your open door causes you to act according to the fruits of the flesh. I say, well, what do you mean by fruits of the flesh? Well, Paul describes this very well in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. I'm not going to go into that. You can look that up on your own. Write that down. But Paul describes what he calls as the fruits of the flesh. And this is not from God. So if you get a chance to get rich quick scheme, I've known some people that have spent their whole entire life trying to get rich quick. And they've had all kinds of different schemes and different things. They've never got rich quick because life doesn't just happen that way. Or maybe you want to aggressively confront someone who's hurt you. It's very likely that that's not a God thing because it's not scriptural. It's more like a carnally natured distraction. And listen, it's got to line up with the Word of God. It's that simple. So how do I know if God is opening a door? Is this opportunity backed by His Word? The next point is answered prayer. If you've been praying specifically, and this is a big thing. This is very important. This is why it's important that we talk about prayer journals and we talk about writing things down. Most of us don't do that. So we don't keep track and we forget so many things. I don't want to forget something. If I'm praying and I'm asking God for something specifically and God answers, I want to write it down because I don't want to miss what God is trying to tell me. Write it down. That's why God gave us the ability of language. Somebody once argued, well, I don't know that it's that important that a man learn how to read or write. Really? Well, then why did God put His Word in writing? He obviously wants you to learn to write. I think it's important. So the next point I said is answered prayer. If you've been praying specifically concerning a very specific situation or praying for a specific issue in your life and an opportunity presents itself based upon that specific prayer, it just may be an answer to your prayer. I know one of people that have missed out because God didn't answer in some big, booming, dramatic way. God doesn't always, elder. Have you ever heard God's voice booming like the thunder? Most of the time when God speaks to us, it's in that still, small voice. And we're too busy watching airplanes, trains, automobiles, and whatever else. On our smartphones, and I think smartphones should be called dumb phones because they've just dumbed down humanity. We're all dumber now because of our smartphones. I've known of people that have missed it because they were waiting for God to answer in some dramatic way. They go to camp, and because the camp evangelist didn't come and answer their prayer specifically, then they just ignore it. But God is trying. So if an opportunity presents itself, it just may be the answer to your prayer. It may be what you're praying for. Now, I've allowed opportunities to pass through my fingers after praying because God answers. And I struggled with God's answer. Because sometimes we pray a specific prayer and God answers our specific prayer a specific way, but it's not specific to our specific. Has God ever done that to you? Doesn't that just like great? I don't want to say get angry at God, but sometimes God's just got a way of just grating you the wrong way. He does that, you know. Just like your parents, teenagers, your parents will grate you the wrong way. You see, God's trying to teach us things, isn't he? He's trying to teach us. He wants us to be better than what we are. So there are times that I struggled. I prayed and God answered my prayer and I struggled following through because of fear and of doubt. Sometimes we have to be careful how we pray and what we pray for. Many times we pray for something, then God brings it to pass, and then we begin to doubt that. I was just reading today the story of Elijah when he was on Mount Carmel. And, I mean, he prayed fire down from heaven. He slew 450, I think a total of maybe 700 or 750 prophets of Baal. I mean, he said it wasn't going to rain for 3.5 years. And, I mean, he said it's going to rain and all of this stuff. And Jezebel sends word that she wants to meet him. So he meets her at the gates, and she threatens him and says, I'm going to kill you. You killed all my prophets. I'm coming after you. And here this great man of God who just got done calling fire down from heaven, saying it's now going to rain, and torrential rains fall after a 3.5-year drought. He outruns the king's chariot back to the city, and now he's running for his life, wishing he was dead. All in a space of just 24 hours. You see, sometimes when we pray, we begin to doubt when God brings things to pass. Here we have a great prophet doing great things, and fear came over him and doubt came over him. We're all subject to fear and doubt. Brother Rogers did a tremendous job Sunday morning talking about fear and doubt, but there's a warrior in your garden. So we have to understand the truth is that God responds. God responds to the prayers of his people. And we have to understand the principal thing here. If we are seeking after the will of God in his life, in our lives, if we are seeking after his blessings, I just want to just say something here when it comes to blessings. Not every blessing, and I kind of wear out by this because a lot of people just feel that every blessing they get from God has to have some sort of a financial tie with it. I am so blessed to have a tremendously sweet, loving, beautiful wife. That's a blessing. And all of you men should be thankful because I've known some that aren't quite. And there's some husbands out there. I'm thankful. That's a blessing. You know what? I go to bed at night. I went to bed Saturday night and it was pouring down rain. We had almost 4 inches of rain at our house Saturday night and Sunday. You know what? I am so thankful to have a roof over my head. What a blessing having a home. An apartment, wherever you live, what a blessing. What a blessing to not have to walk to church tonight. And even what a better blessing, not having to walk home. I'm thankful. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. So sometimes we look and we think that every blessing has to be tied in with some sort of stuff. But there's so many blessings, health, friendships, and relationships. I am so blessed to have the relationships that I have. with all of my brothers and sisters here at Calvary, God. What a blessing. What a blessing all of you are. So, we got to remember that if we're seeking the Lord for one of his promises or his blessings toward us, he can answer. Because his word says that nothing is impossible for God. Look at John writes in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And this is the confidence, this is such a powerful passage of Scripture. And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. Many of us will skip this next step, partly because it takes it out of our hands and places it into the hands of others. And this will be my last point for this evening. And it's very important that we don't skip this step. So we're going to close out with this tonight. So how do I know that God is opening a door? Is God will provide a confirmation from godly, wise counsel. Proverbs 11:14 reminds us that victory is won through the advice of many counselors. I have people that come into my office, and it's becoming more and more and more prevalent today. They come into my office, and they're not asking for counsel. They're not asking for advice. They're not asking for wisdom. They're telling me what they're going to do, and they're asking for my permission to say it's okay. If you've already made up, I'm just going to tell you this from a pastoral viewpoint. If you've already made up your mind when you walk into my office, don't ask me to approve something you've already determined, you've heard from God over. Because I can't trump God. If you say, well, God spoke to me, well, that's it. I'm done. I can't. How am I going to go and say, well, I could question and ask you, but if you're convinced that God spoke to you, so you're going to move, or you're going to do this, or you're going to do that. So confirmation from wise, but not just wise, but godly counsel. If you're unsure if this next opportunity is from God, seek out a person who operates with the gift of wisdom, godly wisdom. I've said this before, when you seek godly counsel, when you seek godly counsel. Now, there's a difference between good counsel and godly counsel. A vast difference. A vast difference. I've had a number of people come to me and say, well, I've talked with a counselor, and a counselor suggested that I just go somewhere else. I leave my spouse, or I do this, or I do that. And it's like, well, let's back up a little bit. How does that counsel line up with the word of God? Well, it's $150 an hour. Well, then you're getting ripped off. I can't help it. You pick a good counselor, but not a godly counselor. It gets harder and harder to counsel people nowadays because, as I've said, a lot of people they just listen to respond. They don't listen to learn. Listen, you're going to be judged by what the Word of God says, not by what some counselor somewhere recommends. So confirmation from godly wise counsel. When you seek godly counsel will be able to recognize conflicts, spiritual conflicts. See, there's a lot of counselors out there that don't recognize the spiritual side of this equation. That's why we talk about secular counselors. Listen, my wife and I, we go to secular counselors. Our finances, we have a retirement plan, and I sought after a secular counselor. That then we prayed about it and said, okay, God, is this what we need to do? So when you seek godly counsel will be able to recognize any spiritual conflicts without an emotional attachment. Although we should not be vulnerable with everyone, we need to pray that God will give us that person. We have a number of elders in our congregation. I've gotten tremendously wise, godly counsel from many of our elders that sit right here. Why would I need to go somewhere else? I'm not trying to toot his horn. He's Norwegian, and he might get a little bit of pride in him, but I'm thankful for Brother Clint Rossing's counsel. I'm just joking there. We got a joke about, but I am. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my relationship with Brother Perry Hicks. I'm thankful. I'm just thankful for Brother John Brunker and for Elder Caskey, for James Hawk and for Jan Rager. Some of our elders. I mean, I'm thankful. I don't want to miss all of our, we got a lot more. Some of us don't want to be called elders. I see Brother Seidel back there snickering, trying to hide. You're older than me, bro. Oh, let's stand. Let's stand. Oh, what does Bishop say? People have more fun than anybody. Speaking of Bishop, he did come home from the rehab center today, and continue to pray for him. But I want to just close this out. If our musicians can come again, we'll finish this up in a few weeks here. Next Wednesday evening, my wife and I will be in La Crosse. Our district board will be meeting, and they've started something, added a new agenda or item to their agenda, and one of those items is a camp, I guess a post-camp meeting, and talk about everything that needs to be fixed and changed and all this and that and the other. So we'll be up in La Crosse for the day there meeting with the district board, so I won't be here next Wednesday evening, but we'll finish this up. But how do I know, how do you know if God is opening up a door? If God is answering your prayers, it's a good sign. If it's an opportunity backed by Scripture, it's a good sign. And if it's confirmation from godly, wise counsel, it's a good sign. So maybe you're here tonight and you're struggling, trying to determine, making some decisions in life. I don't want to make any life-altering or life-changing decision. I guess maybe let me rephrase that. I don't want to make very many decisions. Now, I'm not talking about do we go to Culver's or do we go to Uno's? Well, we can't go to Uno's. They closed now. So do we go to Culver's or do we go to Papa Jimmy's Pizza? That's not the decisions I'm talking about. I'm talking about life-altering, life-changing decisions. I don't want to make any decision in life without seeking after God. I've gotten too many messes. I've done too many dumb things, and I don't want to redo any more weeks or months or years of life because of dumb things that I've chased after, thinking that this was a good idea. I want God to freely flow through my life, and I want my life to affect the life of others. That's how we change our world. So as our worship team, Sister Cecily, leads us in worship, as we close this out, I'd like to come down to the altar, have a conversation with God. You can stay where you're at. You don't have to come down, but I just invite you to say, God, here I am. I've been praying about some things, and Lord, I don't know if this is you or if it's just me. Can you show me? Can you lead me? Can you put me in that right direction? God bless you.
I just want to make you glad.
for your pleasure I exist. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. It's by your will. And for your pleasure I exist, and you are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. I just want to bless your name. I just want to make you glad. I just want to move your heart, oh God, and give you all I am. I just want to bless your name. I just want to make you glad to move your heart.
Between now and, let's just say, next Wednesday, I just want to encourage us to either call or text or email or send a card or talk to in person. We talk about godly wisdom, godly counsel. And I know I didn't mention all of our elders. We have a whole lot of just awesome, awesome elders here. And I'm thankful. But this next week, I just want us collectively just contact that one person, maybe more than one, that's been a confirmation of godly counsel in your life. And just thank them. We do that? Just thank them. Got an energetic bunch down here, and I love it. Thank you, gentlemen. Can we do that? Just make that call. It's real simple. Say, hey, thank you. Thank you for just being that voice of reason sometimes. Sometimes that's just all we need. Just a little nudge here and there to just right us a little bit. Get us going in the right direction again. Sometimes we get stuck in the mud. We just need that little bump to get out. So God bless you. Remember, this Sunday, we'll have regular adult Bible study at 10. And all of our life classes and Sunday school will be at 10. And at 11 o'clock, we'll be meeting here in the sanctuary. It'll be casual attire. Brother Thompson will be speaking. We'll be having a combined service again with Voses and AIM. And our brothers and sisters from Stoughton are going to join us in a little after service. They're going to come over and going to join us out into the big top, and we're going to have just a fun afternoon, a fellowship with one another. God bless you. Thank you again, Sister Cecily, Brother Dan, Sister Sarah. God bless you.